Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Heavenly Father, Lord, what a blessing you are to each one of us. Everything that you have done for us, what you have accomplished, Lord God, the fact that you sent your only begotten Son, your only Son, who was there during creation to us, to have relationship with us, to die for us, to save us so that we may live. Lord, we're truly thankful for that. Help us to never lose sight of what this season is actually about. The powerful Emmanuel. Lord, we thank you so much for these things. Lord, we just stand in awe of you. Our words always fall short. But Lord God, we're going to keep on trying. We're going to keep on praising. We're going to keep on worshiping. We're going to keep on praying. Because, Lord God, with you, everything is possible. So be glorified today in all that we do. Be glorified this season. Be glorified here in our life. Lord God, open up opportunities for each one of us to share who you are, to invite, to share testimony, to open up those conversations, to bring light into the darkness of this dark, dark city. But Lord God, we ask for that blessing and that equipping. Give us that boldness and that courage, and give us those great, great, great opportunities to brag about you, Jesus, the famous one. Jesus, you are the famous one. Oh, Lord, we know that. We get so excited about that. Help us to share that as much as possible. Lord God, today, once again, we give it all to you. We hand it right over to you, and we just sit in submission and awe, as well as anticipation of you. So Jesus, be lifted high. Pray this in your mighty name, and everyone shout it out. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. That was a great song. We're going to do a couple. We're not going to dismiss the kids yet, because you guys get a little special something today. But I'm going to run through some quick announcements, just super quick, and then Charmaine's got special music. Christmas Eve. Come on, Christmas Eve. You guys are supposed to be excited about Christmas Eve. 5:30 Saturday. There's more invitations at the foyer or the desk out there. Please grab them. I don't want any left as of today. Give them to your neighbors. Give them to your coworkers if they choose to. Wad them up, throw them away, use them as scratch paper. Who cares? Just get them in their hands and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit needs to do. Let that person make that choice. But we need to allow people to have that choice, right? We're pro-choice when it comes to coming to church, right? Right? So we want to give people that choice. And then remember, Sunday, a week from today, we will not be having a service here on Sunday morning, because it's Christmas morning. We want you guys to be home and celebrating with your family. And then last off, at the front, in the foyer, behind that big black board, there's a photo opportunity, I guess. Put that first, I think it's the first slide. With the first, there you go. Take a family photo in the lobby. You can keep that for yourself, or you can post it on Facebook. There's directions there and all that, but use that. Especially Christmas Eve, if you're here with your extended family, take that opportunity to get a family picture. Amen? It's all good. You guys are so quiet. What's the deal? You're acting like it's like 0 degrees out. Won't stay that way. That's right, it won't stay that way. All right, four ways to give, like always. You can give online. You can give text to give. You can do the giving boxes. You can mail it to 725 Granite Avenue. Keep up your giving. This is the season of giving. At least that's what we're told. And we try to make that as in giving to each other. And that's an important thing. But always give to God first. That's your number one thing, right? Always give to God first. It's a form of worship. It's a form of submission. So keep that up. All right, kids, you guys can be dismissed. Amen. All right. Adults, I have no candy for you. But I got the bread of life. Right? It's even better. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that we can come before you, that we can gather together here together within our family looking to you, Lord God. What an honor it is. Lord God, touch each one of us today in a special way. Lord God, speak to our hearts. Engage our brains. Help us to move into those footsteps that you desire us to place our feet in. Lord God, we don't want to remain where we are, Lord, because we know you have something so much better. So, Lord God, help us to drop those defenses, to drop those walls, and to listen to what you have for each one of us. And then to take that, to marinate in it, to chew on it, and then to actually apply that into our lives. Lord, we are not afraid of your conviction. We are not afraid of your challenge. And we are not afraid of your change. So, Lord God, place us in that position. Lord, I pray that nobody leaves here today the same way that they walked in. And Holy Spirit, allow me to speak those words that you have for me to speak and shut my mouth with everything else. We pray this in our King, our Savior, the beautiful one, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone shout it out. Amen. Amen. All right. Can you believe Christmas is like in a week? Time is just flying by so rapidly. And it just always sneaks up on us. And it's like this huge, man, we look forward to it and we look forward to it and it's here before we know it. And then seemingly it's past. And then it's like, ooh, now we just have cold weather without anything to look forward to. But that's okay, because we're going to get through all of those things. Before we jump into this message, I want to remind you once again of the Bridge Prayer Challenge. If you have not committed yet, you still have time. Commit, jump on that. If you guys remember, we're praying for a week of weeks. That's 7 weeks we committed to prayer. And that takes us to the 50th day, which will be in 2 weeks from today on New Year's Day. I've heard testimonies. I've heard people talking just about what this means and how this has looked and how maybe God's even started this prayer commitment before we officially did, and they didn't quite put it together, but then once this comes together, it all did. I want to ask you guys for something. I would love to get testimonies and those aha moments during these week of weeks of prayer. I would love to hear the challenges that you've gone through, the things that God has put in place or asked you to do, the changes that you have made. I would love for you to get those to me. If you want to write those down and give them to me on Christmas Eve, if you want to email me, if you want to Facebook message me, I would love that so that I can build that into the New Year's message. I want to focus it all on prayer and see, you know, what came out of this, but also see where we're going. So please, 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 I know God's been doing stuff. If you want to write it and say, hey, please don't use my name, just put that. If you're like, oh, well, yeah, this is pretty neat, but I don't want my name announced from up front or anything, just make a note. If it's like, man, I want everybody to know this is what God showed me, we can do that too. But I would love to be able to share some testimonies or have you share some testimonies on that Sunday. Can you guys do that for me? I just want some help. I'm not good at asking for help, right? Hurts me physically most of the time because I won't ask for help. But in this case, I want your guys' help. So please, 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 please. If not, I'm just going to call people out on that Sunday and it's going to be, no, I won't do that. But please, if you have something that's just an aha, a testimony, a challenge, a change, a conviction, what God showed you, the fruition of those prayers, please let me know. You guys have been letting me know all along, but I would love to have it in writing. All right. It's important. It's important to celebrate. We talk about prayer. We talk about this commitment, what's leading up to it, being in this commitment. But we also like to celebrate the things that have come out of this commitment. So please do that. All right. Today is one of those days. It's one of those crazy days because we come to the end of this series. This series entitled It's Time to Acts. And it's been a little bit of a long series, I guess. This is our 17th week. We have we'll be looking at our 16th principle that we see in the book of Acts. And for me at least, it's always bittersweet when we get to this point. It's always like, yeah, it's time to move on and to go somewhere new. But man, there's so much good stuff within the book of Acts or whatever series we are on. I think the most important thing that we can do coming out of this series is really to let the Holy Spirit use this series in our life as He sees fit, right? So we come to church, we listen, we read the book of Acts, we're challenged, hopefully. We don't just simply move on from there and leave that where it is, right? We bring that with us. It should challenge us and change us. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to use what we have learned in this series as He sees fit. And the key word here is allow. How many of you guys like to allow things, especially when it comes to God? Sometimes we want to take God on our terms, so we don't always allow things to happen, allow Him to work in our lives. See, in our lives, like I said, it's so easy to quickly move on to the next thing. It's like that is our culture. That is just... that's what we do. It's like we're so moving all the time and we get to something and sometimes we don't even enjoy it. You know, sometimes it's like, hey, we got reservations to go to this restaurant and it's going to be so great. And before you know it, it's over and you don't even remember what the food tasted like or what the conversation was like because we've moved on to something else. So much so, I wonder how much we miss in our daily lives. I think we miss so much. Steven and Danny, that little boy's going to grow up so fast. Take the time each day to enjoy him so much. Every single day we need to do that so we don't miss those things. Oddly enough, and actually it's not odd at all, this plays right into our 16th and final principle that we're going to be talking about today. But before we get there, I want to revisit where we have been. If you guys grabbed a bulletin, it looked a little different. I think people were going, wait a second, what is this? Is this the bulletin? If you grabbed one, you'll see the first 15 principles listed on your bulletin. It's for you to take home, stick it in your Bible, do whatever you want with it. You can write in the 16th principle when we get to it. I would just suggest you revisit these principles often. Revisit them often and allow them to serve as a reminder to what the church should aspire to. Let's just quickly run through those first principles. Principle number one, way back, it seems so long ago, but principle number one was a very important one to get us started. Gathering together pushes and propels kingdom movement. Principle number two, the body must devote itself to the essentials of faith. Principle number three, the church is equipped to operate in boldness, courage, and power. Principle number four, the standard of holiness must be upheld. Principle number five, extend impartial and unbiased compassion to all. Principle number six, faith worth believing in is faith worth standing for. Principle number seven, the church must function amid persecution. Principle number eight, obedience opens ongoing opportunities. Principle number nine, no one is ever too far gone, irregardless. Principle number 10, the church is for all people. Principle number 11, prayer. That kicked off our prayer challenge right there. Principle number 12, the body must be unyielding in its faith. Principle number 13, the church pursues a thankful heart. Principle 14, the church is led by the Holy Spirit. And principle number 15, the church is willing to do the hard things. That was last week. I mean, you guys just loved last week's message. The church is willing to do the hard things. That was a harder message, wasn't it? I didn't realize how hard a message that actually was. But it's good. It's good to be challenged. It's good to have those hard things. These first 15 principles are all backed up from the book of Acts. This isn't just something I just made up. This is coming straight out of the book of Acts. That's why it's important to revisit those things. And this brings us now, principle number 16. The final principle, and oddly enough, and I kind of planned it this way, sure, but principle number 16 is interesting because principle number 16 takes us all the way back to the beginning. Principle number 16 is this: the church lives in anticipation. The church lives in anticipation, or maybe I should say the church better be living in anticipation. The church needs to be living in anticipation. We know that the church is each one of us, so that translates into our life. Each one of us needs to be living in anticipation. We're gonna look at what that means, but let's look at some scripture, and then we are going to see how relevant this principle is, or could be, or even should be within our lives. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Just for a reference point here, just so we're all on the same page, I need you guys to remember that where we're at in Acts chapter 1, we are post-crucifixion, right? Jesus has already been crucified. We are post-resurrection. Jesus is already, he's alive, right? He spent the 3 days in the tomb, crucified. He's risen post-resurrection. But we are pre-ascension, right? Jesus came back, he stayed for 40 days, he interacted, very interesting time. So what we're at here, where we're going to start, is this is the end of those 40 days. So I call this the in-between, right? It's in between resurrection, but not yet the ascension. And what an amazing time that would have been for these people who interacted with Jesus. I can't even imagine what was going on there. They had been through so much. They had seen so much. Their hopes had sunk, but then they were made such alive with the resurrection, and now they've interacted with Jesus for these 40 days. And the questions, the conversations must have been incredible. Let's take a look. We're going to take a look at Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 6 through 11. So when they had come together, they asked him repeatedly, "Lord, are you at this time reestablishing the kingdom and restoring it to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the epochs for which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the ends of the earth." And after he said these things, he was caught up as they looked on, and a cloud took him up out of their sight. While they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, two men in white clothing suddenly stood beside them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." What an amazing account here. How cool is this? There's so much packed in to here, and there's some really good instructions. I think we need to listen up. How many of you guys agree when we get to scriptures, especially scriptures like this, it's like, ooh, I need to listen up. I need to figure out what's going on here. This is a great story, but it's so much beyond a story. There's so much that I need to apply into my own life. At least that's what my voice in my head always tells me. And it gets me excited. So let's break this down a bit, and then let's apply it into our lives and into our faith. So first off, the disciples, I'm not going to say they're pestering Jesus, but it says they repeatedly, they kept asking Jesus. They wanted to know if this was the time that Jesus was establishing his kingdom here on earth. Is this it? Is it Jesus? Is it now? Is it now? Are you doing this now? And it's natural, or it's in our nature, to always want to know the what's and the when's before they happen. Anybody in here need to know the what's and the when's? I gotta know. I need to know what's going on. Now, depending on personality types, some even get obsessed over needing to know, and in so doing, can lose sight of the bigger picture. Again, they focus on the event. Oh, when's this going to happen? When's this going to happen? And they're so concerned about that. They're not actually enjoying or learning or really our presence at what's leading up to that, or even the event, or even post-event. Now imagine if you are one of the disciples here, and after all you have been through, after all you have seen, you have Jesus standing right before you. He's standing right in front of you, and you're excited because, well, after all, he conquered death, right? He conquered death. He's done everything that he said he was going to do. And he's standing here right in front of you in all his authority and all his glory. And you're probably thinking to yourself, all right, Jesus, now things are going to get real good. Now things are going to get real exciting. So the question that the disciples are asking is a relevant one in their current perception of what they think should happen. Right? Do you agree with that? They have an idea of what they think should happen. So by asking Jesus, hey, is now the time? Is it the time? Is it the time? Is it the time? That's a relevant question because of where they're at in their current walk with Jesus, in their current perception of what is going on. Now, this is not a stretch to imagine being in this position, is it? Because after all, we do something very simple, similar all the time, don't we? Don't we? Admit it, we all do. We wonder when God is going to do the things that we expect him to do. You ever do that? We have an expectation of what God's going to do. Maybe it's in our own life. Maybe it's in the life of others. Maybe it's just a general expectation. So we have that expectation. So we go to God and we say, okay, God, when's this going to happen? But Jesus comes back with this authoritative statement. He says, it is not for you to know the times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Whoa. Little bit of a reprimand, a little bit. It's like, quit asking. You're asking the wrong question. See, in effect, did I just lose that? Did I? No, it's still there. In effect, Jesus is saying, you're looking at this completely wrong. You're looking at it, it's all wrong. Don't worry about the specific times, because that is up to the Father himself. And then Jesus, in his amazing wisdom and his amazing leadership, now redirects his disciples to the place he desires and needs them to get to be, and to exist in. He says this, but you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell the people about me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. We know that verse, don't we? We don't always know why that verse, where that verse came from, and how that verse came to be spoken, and what that came out of. It was because the people were saying, man, what about now? What about now? Are you coming? Are you coming? It's all about you. It's not about me. And Jesus is saying, wait a second. It's not for you to know, and it is about you, because I have something for you to do. And again, this is very relatable, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but Jesus does this redirecting thing to me all the time, especially in my prayer time. See, I'll be praying about something. I'll be praying for someone, or about a situation, or about a circumstance, something that I'm involved in, something that I'm preoccupied with. Maybe it's something that I'm thinking about. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, you're looking in the wrong direction. Look over here. I need you to focus over here. And it is in this wonderful redirection that my will and my agenda and my insights become subservient to him. Now, flip that slide. Instead of watching and wondering and even worrying about my things, I now have insight into the things that are important to God. So yes, this is very relatable here. You ever been in prayer and you think you're praying? You got your list, you got your agenda, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit redirects you into crazy land? So it seems it's crazy land? And you begin praying that, and that redirection plugs you into the Holy Spirit in a whole new and amazing way. I hope for each one of you in here that you have experienced that. Now, looking back at this story, that's exactly what Jesus does. They're focused on one thing. He redirects them over here, and he tells them what they're supposed to be doing. This is what I'm leaving for you to do. Don't worry about that, because that's God's timing. But this is what I want you to do. And then something truly amazing happens. Jesus is caught up in the clouds and taken into heaven. Wait, where'd he go? We were just talking to him, and now he's gone. Right before their eyes, Jesus ascends into heaven. And suddenly two angels appear and say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky?" Because you know they're just like dumbfounded. They're just like mouths agape. They're just looking up there going like, "What just happened?" And he said, "Hey, why are you just standing there looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven." So really, in a nutshell, here's what we need to know about this passage. It is the Father who knows and will determine when the kingdom will be reestablished. The Holy Spirit is given to the church so the church can get to and be at work. Jesus will return in the same way that he left. So we are to live our life in anticipation while we are diligently at work for the kingdom. And I think there's a healthy balance that needs to occur here, because we tend to get out of balance when we swing a little bit crooked to one side or another. You know, think about balance. Got to be right in the middle. If you're off to one side or another, you're going to tend to fall to that side or the other. You see, we can get so consumed with the organizational structure of ministry that we can actually lose sight of the fact that Jesus is coming back for his church. And we should all rejoice about that. And we should all be excited about that. Jesus is coming back for his church, and we are to wait in anticipation for that. Or we can swing to the other side, and we can get so consumed trying to decipher the scriptures in an attempt to predict his return that we neglect the job that he left for us. See, we could swing to either one of those sides, and if we do, both of those sides are out of balance. As born-again believers, we, the church, are to live in anticipation. Anticipation, or the expectation of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, and anticipation, or the expectation of the return of Christ. A balance here, our passion and our faith grow exponentially. You guys believe it? Just trying to get some feedback here. You guys are so quiet. See, when we are out of balance either way, our eyes begin to wander, and we are in need of a little Holy Spirit redirection, aren't we? And hopefully that's what church helps to do. That's what our prayer time helps to do. That's what getting in the Word helps to do. And when I wrote that, I thought, yeah, there's people that can fall to either side, right? There's the people that are in balance, and that's a great place to be. But there's people that can fall to one side or the other. But then it dawned on me there's another category that Christians fall into. And this is the longest category. It's the, yeah, but I go to church on Sunday. Well, most Sundays. Okay, I go to church on some Sundays. Doesn't that count for something crowd? Right? Every church is going to have that crowd. We're going to see them on Christmas Eve, actually. And that's awesome. We need to pray for them. And they are somewhat I guess, oblivious, or they neglect being about the Father's business, and they live without an anticipation of Christ's return. So they really are, in effect, ineffective in what they are doing, and they don't know what they are even looking for. Yet they associate themselves with Christianity, so that's a plus. They have a church that they are affiliated with, that's a plus. But we need to help get those people from that point into the point of balance, because balance is the key. Balance tells us that the church lives in anticipation, principle number 16. Anticipation of what God will do now. Anticipation of Christ's return. What a great place that is. We should always live in anticipation of what God is doing right now. This second, this minute, today, this week, this month. We got to be in anticipation of what God is going to do. And we have to be in anticipation that Christ could return at any moment, any second, any instant. And those come together in just a beautiful, beautiful harmony. When we adopt this theology, that anticipation becomes an attitude. What a great attitude to have. And my attitude is my way of thinking. My attitude actually reflects what's going on in my life right now. So if I see you out on the streets, if you walk in here on a Sunday morning, if you come in to see me in my office during the week, I can kind of evaluate where you are based upon your attitude. Did you know that? We do it all the time, don't we? We always do that. We go to the bank and we look at all the tellers, and if one's smiling and the rest are frowning, we want to wait because we want to go to the one that's smiling because we think their attitude is going to be different, right? Their attitude is going to reflect what's going on in their life. There's going to be less of an issue. You go out to eat and you get a waiter or a waitress and they have a really bad attitude. You're like, man, this meal's going to take a long time and it's just not going to be good. So our attitude says a lot about what's going on. It reflects what's going on in my life. And I can use that as a tool, right? If I encounter people and they've got a certain attitude, because it reflects on what's going on in my life, the Holy Spirit can then help me to choose my words in an appropriate manner. But my attitude is my way of thinking. And it reflects what is going on. And my attitude is actually the greatest determination of my behavior, right? So my attitude, if it's based on anticipation and a good balance of anticipation of what is God doing now, and this anticipation that Jesus is coming back, and I get excited about that, and my attitude reflects that excitement, that is a determination of how I'm going to behave on a day-to-day basis. Amen? Because too many Christians, born-again Christians, are walking out with a bad attitude and it's being reflected in their bad behavior. And I'm wondering if we might be just a little bit out of balance. Maybe we're not understanding what God is doing right now and anticipating the great things that He can do this afternoon. I'm also not anticipating that at any moment Jesus could return for His bride. And we will be swept up just like He left into the clouds. How amazing is that? How can that not change my behavior? Because it changes my attitude. Because I'm living in the balance of anticipation. So when I awake every day in anticipation of what God will do now, as well as in anticipation of Christ's return, this becomes my attitude and my behavior follows and reflects that. How awesome is God, right? How truly awesome is God? Because in all His wisdom, He put this forth. He created this. This is His plan. That's pretty amazing and that's pretty awesome. But we don't want to admit to that because that means we might have to change our behavior or our attitude, right? And we don't always want to do that. But when we live in that anticipation, we get excited. Wouldn't we be fools not to submit and to pursue such awesomeness? God is pure awesomeness. That word has become, I don't know, it's overused. Awesome, awesomeness. That word should be reserved only to describe God, right? And in his awesomeness, we would be fools not to seek that balance in our life that changes our attitude and our behavior, because we're living in that anticipation and the balance of, man, God's doing it now and he's going to do it later. And I'm here now and watching God work. I'm going to be with him for eternity watching him work, and it's going to be awesome. Man, this is the season that we're in. Man, we should be so joyful when we're waiting in line to buy things, presents for people that we don't know that well, and things that they probably don't even want, but we're still doing it because it's tradition, and we're waiting in line and everybody's complaining. But we should have an attitude that's very different than the world, than the general public. In so many ways, Principle 16 helps bring harmony to the first 15 principles. The church lives in anticipation. If done right, anticipation brings that vital balance that we so desperately need. Do you guys ever try to balance things? Maybe as a kid, did you ever try to balance things? I do it all the time. It's like, I wonder if I could balance that. Maybe it's a penny or a dime on its edge, right? On something that's high or a little bit of... You guys do that? How do you guys entertain yourself? I mean, it's so much fun. You ever, like, drink so much out of a can? Like, not a beer can, but like a soda can, and then you try to balance it on its head. That's fun, isn't it? It's like, man, I'm gonna try to balance this. You ever try to balance eggs on there? That's fun stuff, especially on the solstice. It's a whole lot easier. And rocks. You like to balance rocks like that? Just to see if you can. Whenever I'm fly fishing and I see somebody piling up rocks like that, I'm a rock kicker. I always kick that over. I don't know why, but I do. You ever try to balance yourself? Maybe not so much anymore, right? Anybody been walking on a slack line lately? Sandy has. That's good. I had to do a lot of balance stuff after my knee replacement, and in therapy, they would make me do all these balance things, and it was difficult. It was hard, but it helps me out so much. So at least I can say I'm somewhat physically balanced. Emotionally, that's up for debate. Spiritually, I hope so. See, the thing about balance is challenging. It really is. It takes effort to balance things, doesn't it? Maybe it's your checkbook. Yeah, it takes effort to balance my checkbook. It's like, hey, check this out. I can balance that checkbook. Balanced real good. It's a whole lot easier to do that. But just a little bit either way, and it will fall to that side, right? So it's like, man, I'm trying to balance this egg, and it just keeps falling. Oh, just a little bit. Oh, no. Oh, too much, and it fell the other way. But then when you get it, and balance is achieved, and in so many ways, you just did what you didn't think you could do. You did it. And it's exciting. And it's rewarding. See, our faith is the exact same way. And here's the best part. Unlike trying to balance an egg or some rocks or ourselves on a slack line, the Holy Spirit is here to help us. It's the Holy Spirit who calls us to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that equips us for good works. It's the Holy Spirit who heals us, mind, body, and spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who testifies to the return of Christ. And it is this balance that causes us to live in the certainty and the confidence in knowing that Jesus saves, Jesus equips, Jesus heals, and Jesus is coming back. Amen. That's the statement you guys need to know. Hey, what do you believe? What religion are you? What church do you go to? Oh, what do they believe? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Here's what I believe. Here's what my church believes. We believe that Jesus saves, Jesus equips, Jesus heals, and Jesus is coming back. Boom, in a nutshell, that's what we believe, isn't it? That's what our faith is based on. Now we can expand out of that, but these are the fundamental, these are the top fundamental truths that we need to be looking at. Jesus saves, absolutely, and we all need saving. Jesus equips, and we all need equipping by the Holy Spirit. Jesus heals, and let's face it, we all need healing, don't we? Maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, but each one of us needs a spiritual healing. And we can't deny, and we never should try, that Jesus is coming back for his church. If you walk in this balance every day, your anticipation becomes your attitude, and your attitude is modeled by your behavior. And that looks a whole lot like Galatians 5, doesn't it? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what we can look forward to. This is the balance that comes. And then out of that balance, this flows. This is amazing stuff. But the fruit of the Spirit is the result of His presence within us is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There is no law. There is nothing that is going to restrain that. When we achieve that balance in our life, and the only way to achieve that balance in our life is by the Holy Spirit. When we live in anticipation that God is not only doing things right now, but God's going to come back and get us. We look in anticipation. We should be dreaming about the great things that God is going to do now and our time in eternity. That's the anticipation that changes our attitude. Our attitude changes our behavior. Our behavior begins to look like the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Did you know that's not a buffet list? Right? That's not like I bet all those are in God's hat. And then when he calls my number, he reaches in and he says, "Oh, Jason, you got self-control." Oh, praise God, I got self-control because, oh, there's a lot of people I didn't want to have to love. And then the next person comes up and he says, Mike, we're gonna give you some faithfulness, Mike. Yes, I got the faithfulness. What you get, Mike? What you get? Faithfulness. Oh man, I got patience. Think it's not a buffet, it's not a hat. The fruit of the Spirit is the full meal deal. It's all of those things. How many of you want all of those things exhibited in your life every single day? Well, I'm telling you. How to get to that. I'm telling you what we need to do. It's called the fruit of the Spirit for a reason, because it is the result of His presence, the Holy Spirit's presence within us. We need to seek that. We need to crave that. We need to desire that. And how do we get that? Well, it's reflected in our behavior. And our behavior comes out of our attitude. And our attitude comes out of our anticipation. And our anticipation comes out of our desire to have balance in our lives. How many of you guys have ever thought about the balance in your life? How many of you guys seek that balance in your life? Or is it one of those things where it's just like, man, I'm just lucky to get to church, right? Because sometimes we think that way too. Man, I'm just lucky I got through the week and there is zero balance. Instead of having a nice pretty pile of rocks, there's just rocks strewn all over the place. And you're like, I didn't even know that was one of my rocks. That's the last thing but I think the Holy Spirit wants to come into our life. How many of you guys believe God is a God of order? Not God of chaos, like evolutionists and atheists try to make us believe that everything is random chance, right? But that everything is order, because God is a God of order, that you are not just a mistake by a bunch of little molecules bumping into each other over several billion years, but rather God in His orderly plan created you specifically. So God is a God of order. Within that order comes balance. Shouldn't we be seeking that in each one of our lives. So maybe it's not just about coming to church, sitting through church, singing a little bit, going home and doing whatever you want, putting the effort in to the balance that God desires us to live in. Amen? That making sense? I hope. I so desire balance in my life because the position I'm in, I can fall to one side. I have a whole bunch of sides. I don't have two sides. I have so many. Oh, do I seek God and spend time in His presence? Or do I work on my message? Or do I try to put this fire out? Or do I go talk to this person? Or do I hand out discipline over here? Or do I, that snowed, maybe I should shovel a little bit. And it's all these different things. And I think the Holy Spirit has to take me and redirect me and say, you're saying or way too much. It's an and. Because it's all about that balance that He desires me to live in. And I think He desires each one of you to live in that exact same balance. Balance should never be feared. For some of you, balance is a very big change, right? Because the opposite of balance is unbalance or chaos. And all too often, people live a life of stress or chaos. And here's Jesus, just like He's doing with the disciples, who keep asking them the wrong question. God, are you going to reestablish the kingdom of Israel right now? Are you going to do it? Are you going to Jesus? Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it, Jesus? He said, guys, that's up to my Father. He's going to determine that time and that date. But look over here. Look at what I have for you over here. I want you to watch for my return. I want you to anticipate that. But I also want you to be about my business. And every single day, live in anticipation that you are going to meet somebody that wants to actually listen to your testimony. That actually says, oh yeah, I'd come to church with you. Oh yeah, I read the Bible, but I have questions about it. We should be anticipating that on a day-to-day basis. How much more exciting would life be? It would be totally more exciting. How much of a change would our attitude have to adjust when we experience those things? Man, we'd want to talk to everybody about Jesus all of a sudden, and it'd be reflected in our behavior. And we would actually begin to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. See, I think when we have the Holy Spirit, the fruit is there. But, you know, like especially this time of year, people give like the fruit baskets and they're full of oranges and apples and bananas and they got that either green or red cellophane stuff and they wrap it up and put a bow on it. Oh, what a great gift. It's fresh fruit in the middle of winter. It's so amazing. And I think sometimes we treat the fruit of the Spirit somewhat like that. It's obscured. It's in there. It's not being exhibited, it's not being tasted, it's not being touched, right? There's this cellophane that's blocking it. We need to get rid of that cellophane. You need to be eating your fruits and vegetables this time of year. But more importantly, we need to allow the fruit of the Spirit to be displayed in each one of our lives. If we are not, I would ask you to evaluate the balance or the lack of balance that you are living in. Principle number 16, the church lives in anticipation. Worship team, if you guys want to come up, I would ask you, are you currently living in anticipation? Good anticipation. Because I meet Christians all the time and they're living in anticipation that things are just junk. Things are bad. Things are only going to get worse. That's Christian people. Can you imagine what the world is living in anticipation in? They got nothing to look forward to. But Jesus loves so much. He gives us such a reason to live in that anticipation. What He's going to do in your life now. It's instant. Right now. As we sing this last song, live in anticipation that God's going to show you something and touch you in a way, give you insight, give you wisdom, do something. Live in that anticipation. And then when we walk out these doors, live in that anticipation that, man, Jesus is in fact coming back. Though I may not know the time or the day, I am going to live in such a manner that I have an anticipation that Jesus is coming back for His church. Amen. What can the world do to us? What can the news tell us to drag us down? What can people say to us to drag us down? Not much if we're living in true anticipation that God's working in my life now, and I'm going to spend eternity with Him either by the rapture or by me stepping into glory. Individually, it doesn't matter. We need to be living in that anticipation. We're going to somewhat pick this up during our Christmas Eve service. See, the world was living in anticipation that a Messiah was coming. And Emmanuel, God incarnate, came on that early Christmas morning in the form of baby Jesus, didn't he? And that was an anticipation for that. But the anticipation should have never stopped at that moment. We should be living in as much anticipation right now of what Jesus is doing and that Jesus is coming back for His church. Amen. Amen. Guys, we're a whole lot quieter today. I thought, man, this is going to be a much easier message than last week. And last week you were a little bit loud, and that's like, man, I'm just going to give them a nice, happy message. This is kind of a happy message right here. And you guys got quiet. So I guess I know what you prefer. And that's totally fine. We'll just go with that. But let us seek balance so that it affects our behavior. Because that's a reflection of our attitude. Our attitude is based on the anticipation of Jesus Christ in our life now and then. This instant and eternity, how can we not get excited and look forward and model that? Us Christians should be the craziest, happiest, most optimistic people ever. We don't walk around like a pep squad, right? We don't laugh all day long like an idiot or anything like that. But our attitude projects that we live in anticipation. There's something more about that guy. There's something more about that lady. They just got something different than what I see in the world. Why does this person at my work seem so much different than everybody else? It's because they're living in anticipation, and their behavior is reflected by their attitude, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So as we sing this last song, no idea what it is. Big surprise for me, and I love that. But I am anticipating. We're going to have a good time of worship right now. If you need to get to the altar, get to the altar. If you need to just bow down before Him, bow down before Him. If you need to repent and say, God, I didn't even know there was balance. I'm so out of balance. God, I didn't even know I should be living in anticipation. Help me to live in anticipation. God, fruit of the Spirit, I forgot about that verse. Are we supposed to be living by that? Yes. Display your fruit. Let it be good fruit. Let the Holy Spirit work in you in such a way where all of this proceeds out of a desire to be with Jesus. What a wonderful thing. One of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible is that when Peter and John and they're talking, and these more sophisticated people are like, whoa, this is weird, because these are uneducated men. But it's obvious that they've been with Jesus. I'd rather have been with Jesus. I'd rather be being with Jesus and having the greatest level of education that I can. Because education is what, I'm not down on education. Simply saying, be with Jesus. It all flows out of that. Have anticipation. Get excited. Get excited about this season. But for the born again believer, this season never ends. And let's look with anticipation for the return of our Lord and Savior. Everybody stand up. Let's pray. The altars will be open. Let's worship together and let's get excited. Father, Lord, what a perfect plan that You have laid out for us. What, Lord, the timeline in the book of Acts is so wonderful. Thank You that we could take this series and learn these principles out of the book of Acts. Let us not just learn them, though. Let us apply them. Lord God, let us bathe everything in prayer. Let us be bold as Christians, but let us live in anticipation, in the balance of that anticipation. The things that you're doing now and the things that you're going to do then, let that all come together in harmony, that we may have an attitude that is grateful of who you are. And let our behavior speak to the wonders of your grace and mercy and need for salvation. Lord God, let us be that light into this community. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.